Morning. Today's daf and kedushin is Yud Ches. Thank the Lubin Foundation for sponsorship of the daf. Daf is learned as Nishmas Liba Gabriela Bas Shmuel. We are in Yizayin and Beis. We're discussing the halachas of Eved Ivri Ama Ivriya. That's been our topic of discussion for already the past little bit since the Yudal Med Beis, where the Mishnah introduces to the topic. So we are. We are the two dots in the middle of Yud Zayin Amud Beis. It's a little bit more than halfway down. Ama Yivri Eino Avedes Lo Asaben Velo Asabasi. Ama Yivri does not work neither for the son nor for the daughter. Menahanimili. The Gemara quotes a brisa. If you remember yesterday, just look a little bit above where we are in the Gemara right now. Just as a quick recap, what we saw at the end of yesterday's daf. If you look towards the top, Tana Rabbanan, Eved Ivri Avedes Aben Veino Avedes Abbas. The Eved Ivri works for the son, but not for the daughter. And as we pointed out yesterday, there is no Yerusha of the Eved Ivri. Again, the Eved Ivri is not Neve Kanani's. The Eved Ivri is not owned. But nevertheless, in terms of employment, his contractual employment will continue if his owner died and his owner left a son. But don't call this Yerusha. It's not really fundamentally Yerusha. Because if it were Yerusha, so then it would go down to the next generation, regardless of what the next generation is, a father, a son, or a daughter. We know then the halacha is by Yerusha that if there's no son, the daughter takes the place of the son, and the daughter gets the Yerusha. So clearly, by the halacha making a distinction between a son or a daughter, it's not Yerusha. What is it? It's something more to the tune of the son fills in the role of the father. The son is Mamale Makam Aviv. He fills in the role. And so therefore, if there was an Eved Ivri that was Nimkar to a person, and then he dies, so the son is going to fill in for the duration of whatever's left, either 6 years or it's going to be Yovel, one or the other. So that's what we saw regarding an Eved Ivri. Then if you go back and just by Chazara. If you look a little bit above where we are in the Gemara right now, what's the next line of the Gemara after that? Am Ivriya Eino Avedes Lo Saben Velo Sabas. Now, as far as an Am Ivriya is concerned, if her owner dies, so she doesn't work neither for the son nor for the daughter. Hanirtsa V'anim Kalavi Kochav Eino Oved Lo Saben Velo Sabas. And the Nirtza, or somebody sold to a non-Jew, does not work for neither the son nor the daughter. Okay, those are the four different halachas that we learned in terms of the inheritability of an Eved Ivri. And then the Gemara says that Ama Ivri and Oves Lo Saben Velo Sabas. So at the end of yesterday's daf, we went through the halachas regarding an Eved Ivri, and that he goes down to the son and not to the daughter. Okay, and we discussed it yesterday, and we pointed out that in halacha, this was yesterday's daf, in halacha there are a couple of halachas where it's very clear that the son takes the role of the father. Okay, but now we go on to discuss the next point in the brisa. Am Ivriya no noves lo saben velo sabas. The Am Ivriya does not work neither for the son nor for the daughter. Minahanimili Am Rebbe Pedas Am Akrosa. The Gemara quotes the pasuk that supports this, is the source of it. Va'afla matcha tasekain. We go to Parshas Re'eh. In Parshas Re'eh, the Torah there makes an equation, a hekesh between an Eved Ivri and Am Ivriya. He kisha kasav lenirza. My nirza in oved lo. So the Gemara says, and the Hekesh equates an Ami Ivriya to an Eved Ivri Hanirtsa. And as we're going to discuss in just a moment, Eved Ivri Hanirtsa does not work for neither son nor daughter of his employer. Same thing is true with Ami Ivriya. The Gemara says, wait 1 second, slow down. The Gemara says, okay, but the pasuk you just quoted is needed for another halacha, which is the halacha of Hanukkah, of a severance package. A severance package is not limited to an Eved Ivri. A severance package goes to an Ama Ivri as well. Maybe the Gemara says that we are discussing the halacha of Nirtza, of the piercing of the ear, to create servitude for an indefinite period of time, which of course we know is Yovel, but maybe that's the purpose of the Hekesh. The Gemara says, no, that we're not going to say. Keshu Amar V'im Amar Yomar HaEved. If the Eved says, this is Parshas Mishpatim, where the Eved opts in to becoming an Eved Hanirtsa. And the Torah over there is speaking specifically about an Eved Ivri, meaning a male. V'lo ama Ivriya. And this halacha of Nirta doesn't apply to a female. Hare Ritzia Amor. So we already know that the halacha is that there's a distinction between a Eved Ivri and Amma Ivriya in terms of the halacha of Nirta. Simply, an Eved Ivri is eligible to become a Nirta. An Amma Ivriya is ineligible to become a Nirta. So once we have that established, so Hamani Mikayim V'af Amatcha Tasekein. So now when the Torah creates an equation between men and women, in terms of Eved Ivri and Amma Ivriya, what is the equation? Lahanik. So it must be for the halacha of Hanaka, that both of them are going to be receiving a severance package at the end of their employment. So the Gemara is now bothered by the fact that we are also generating another halacha. So the Gemara says, if the Torah would have said, Lamatcha Kain, Maitase, Shema Minas Tarte. So it could, the Torah could have just gotten away with saying the word Lamatcha and instead adds the additional word of Tase. Therefore, we're going to have two halachas extrapolated from this pasuk. One, that an Amma Ivriya is entitled to a severance package. Two, is that the Amma Ivriya, just like the Eved Ivri Hanirza, is not going to work neither for the son or the daughter. And we have, the truth of the matter is, we haven't established that yet in the Gemara. But let's just say it's so, because it is. So the same thing is true with an Amma Ivriya. An Amma Ivriya is not going to be working neither for the son or the daughter. If the owner dies, she goes free. And with that stated, we're now moving on in the Gemara, Yudzayin Amud Beis, about three quarters of the way down, fourth wide line. If you had an Eved Ivri Nirza, or if you had someone who was sold to a non-Jew, which is in Parshas Bahar. So in both of those cases, if the owner dies, he does not work neither for the son nor for the daughter. The Torah says that he pierces his ear with a marzeh. Marzeh is an awl, A-W-L. Is it right? It's something that'll create a piercing. So, va'avadola olam, and he'll be an eved forever. Now the Gemara says, v'lo asabas. So the Gemara understands that the Torah is very clear over there, that the servitude is directed only to one owner, and not to the son or not to the daughter of said person. So that's how we know that a nirtza only works for him and not for nobody else. Now, how do I know that nimka lo v'kochavim? So we're talking now about a Jew who was sold to a non-Jew. He sold himself, I should say. It's in Parshas Bahar. He sold himself to a non-Jew because of his impoverished state. So how do I know that in the event that his owner dies, he doesn't go to the next generation? Because we talked about earlier how he gets out of such servitude, and that is he buys himself out of the contract. And he calculates im konehu, together with his owner. The only person he ever needs to make a calculation with, the only one he needs to negotiate with, is only going to be the person who actually bought him. But in the event that that person dies, so then he does not go down to the next generation. Amar Rava Dvar Torah. So now the Gemara for the next bit of Gemara, from here until the top of the next Amud, is going to have a very interesting discussion, and that is, how does the Torah view Yerusha when it comes to non-Jews? Meaning, we're learning a halacha right now regarding an Eved Ivri, whether he gets passed on to the next generation, if in fact he sells himself to a non-Jew. Okay, what's the general default? Generally speaking, you have a non-Jew, he dies. Now, I understand that they have their own set of laws, and you know they have dinim, and but how does the Torah view Yerusha as it relates to a non-Jew? So, Amar Rava Dvar Torah, Ovi Kochavim Yerusha Saviv, that on a Torah level, a non-Jew inherits his father. Shenamar v'chishivim koneu v'lom yoshev koneu. And the Gemara says, and how do I know that? Because look at what we're discussing right now. We're learning a special halacha that when a non-Jew owns a Jew and the non-Jew dies, so the Jew goes free and he doesn't get passed down. And how do I know that? Because of a special drasha, which means that it's not the default. It's not the rule. What's the rule? So the Gemara says the rule must be mechlal d'isla yorshim. That must be that the general rule is that there is a Yerusha, and it would have been passed on to the next generation. And had there not been a special drasha, once the owner dies, the Eved Ivri that works for the owner, for the non-Jewish owner, is going to get passed down to the next generation. That was the default setting. That's what would have happened had there not been a special pasuk. But now that there's a special pasuk, so that special pasuk is going to tell us, in this case, it's not going to happen. But that means, of course, generally, it would happen. Now it gets even more interesting. Ger esarove kochavim ein b'divrei Torah elam b'divrei sofrim. Now what about a ger? Right, guy converts, so left his family, left his parents, and went on to convert to Yiddishkeit. And then his father dies. Does he inherit his father? Min haTorah, the answer, of course, is no. We say this time and again throughout the Gemara. Gershin's Gayer, Kikatan Hanola Dami. Once you have somebody converts, that's it. He's a born again. I know some, I know others have taken that expression, but that expression really is ours. Gershin is Gayer, Kikatan Hanola Dami. So he's a born again, and at that point in time, he's not related. Biologically, he's related, but halachically, he's not related to anybody, not his parents included. So that would mean that the Ger does not inherit his father, Min haTorah. However, the Chachamim legislated, he should be able to inherit. So first we're going to quote the Mishnah, and then we're going to explain why. Did none. Ger v'ovikochavim shiyarshos aviyem v'ovikochavim. So let's say you have two brothers, one decided, non-Jews, one decided to convert. Okay, very interesting. So you have now a family structure where, of the two brothers, one converted, one did not convert, and the father died. Gir yachol omer la'ovi kochavim, tol ata avodes kochavim, ve'ani ma'os. Tol ata yai nesech, ve'ani peros. So now the convert says to his brother as follows, look, we're going to divide our father's estate. And I understand we're going in two different directions in life. You're going to remain a non-Jew, and which of course is your prerogative, and I'm a convert. But here's the story. In Dad's estate, Dad was a serious idolater. You know what? I'll tell you what. Let's do the following. You take the idols, you take the Yain Nesech, and I'll take the other portions of the estate. Now, if this should come across as something which doesn't sound right, Lifnei Iver is one thing, but I guess even more in the forefront is the idea that you're basically negotiating and benefiting from Avodah Zarah. Meaning by your brother collecting the Avodah Zarah, you now get the non-Avodah Zarah. So basically Avodah Zarah has become now a negotiation tool so that you get, quote-unquote, legitimate portions of the estate. So, right, it sounds like you're benefiting, it's Hana'a from Avodah Zarah. How does that work? And I'm not going to answer the question yet because let's read on. Mishabal Rishus Ger Aser. However, if once the estate has been divided, and now the Ger says, oh no, look what I got as part of my father's estate. I got some idols, I got a little bit of Yai Nesech. He goes over to his brother and says, you know what? Do you think we could barter a little bit? Meaning, right? I got no use for these idols. I know you love this stuff, right? I got no use for the Yain Ezech. I know you love this stuff. So can we do a swap? So the Brisa says once the estate's been divided, and once the Ger receives his portion of the estate, he cannot divide it with his brother. So now, let's think this through, because the second half of the Brisa makes perfect sense. You can't swap out something which is Avodah Zarah with something else. Because then, effectively, you're getting benefit from Avodah Zarah. You can't do that. The second half of the Brisa is fine. It's the first half of the Brisa, which should seem very strange. Before the estate is divided, you can negotiate with your brother. The brother is a non-Jew, and you're the convert. You can negotiate with your brother. Hey, you'll get this, and I'll get this. Why? Isn't that the same basic issue? The Isaac Adachadaraisakilobaliyoshavnamikishakochilufavoskochavamu. So the Gemara says that's exactly the point. Because before the estate was divided, Min haTorah, you're not an inheritor. You're not a Yorish Min haTorah. So that means that really Min haTorah, it's not coming to you. Ela midurabanan. This is a gzera durabanan. Now, I use the word gzera, and I'm not really sure if that's the right word. Maybe takana is a better word. It's a rabbinic institution that the ger is allowed to inherit part of the estate. And because Min haTorah, he doesn't actually own it yet, so therefore he can negotiate before the estate is divided. After the estate is divided, so then he's in trouble. Because after the estate is divided, now whatever was given to him is his. And now if he barters with that, then he's going to be benefiting from Avodah Zarah. But before the estate was divided, it's not his. Min haTorah, it's not going to go to him. So then he's allowed to negotiate. Now it gets even more interesting. Why? Why would he be allowed to negotiate before the estate is divided? Meaning, can't you make the simple argument that even though Min HaTorah is not going to him, ultimately, when all said and done, he's going to be benefiting from Avodah Zarah in that he's bartering with his brother, hey, you get the Avodah Zarah and I'll get this. Why should that be okay? Why did the Chachamim say that's okay? Gemara goes on to explain. Gzeruhu David Rabban and Shem Yachzor L'Suro. Because if the Chachamim didn't make such a takana, imagine. Here you have a guy who converted. And the rest of his family decided not to convert, which again, is fine. And then the father dies of this convert. Now, if the halacha is that we just go according to the strict letter of the law, which would be, he's not related to his father. He therefore is financially cut off from any Yerusha. So at that point in time now, he's going to seriously reconsider his decision. Meaning, I know I converted, and I know I left my family, but now, look what I left also. Dad just died, he had a sizable estate, I'm going to now not get any of it? So the Chachamim were concerned about that. So the Chachamim, it's almost like two things that they legislated. One, that you can get half the Yerusha, or whatever percentage you're entitled to. And two, and this one is interesting, is that before the Yerusha is divided, you can negotiate with your brothers so that you don't get the Avodah Zarah. Okay, these are the takanas of the Chachamim to help the ger kind of not revert back to his non-Jewish status. And the Gemara says Tanyanami Hachin, the Gemara says, and we have a Braisa that supports this idea as well, Bamedvar Mamorimbish, Kishiyar Shaval, Kish Nishtatfu, Asir. That's only if they're Yorish. But if they were Nishtatif, if there was a partnership between a Jew and a non-Jew, so then you cannot barter, you'll get the Avodah Zarah. In other words, when they dissolve the partnership, hey, you'll get the Avodah Zarah and I'll get the non-Avodah Zarah. You can't do that. Because then you're going to be directly benefiting from Avodah Zarah by bartering the Avodah Zarah for something else. The Yoresh, however, can do that for the reasons that we already pointed out.
But as a partner, you own part of the Avodah Zarah.
What were you doing in that partnership to begin with? That's a good question. I don't have a good answer. But when you dissolve the partnership, you can't start negotiating and saying, I'll take this and you take the Avodah Zarah. You can't do that. Okay. Now, let's say you have the father is a ger, and the son is a non-Jew. Okay, it's unusual, but it can happen. Meaning the father later in life decides, you know what? I've had my children, right? I raised them already. You know what? I'm into Torah, I'm into Yiddishkeit, I want to convert. Fine. And the father converts. So now, again, what's the Torah say? Gershon's gar kakana nola dami. He no longer halachically is connected to his family members. And now he dies. What's halachi here? So here, the Chachamim don't need to legislate. Because who are they legislating on behalf of? The non-Jew? His non-Jewish son? There's no need for that. So here, the Chachamim left it as is, which is that his state now is ownerless. Right, anyone who gets there first is going to call a kodem zacha. And same thing is true if the father and the son are both converts. Meaning, we're not talking about him having children after he converted, because then halakhically they are his children. We're talking about a father and a son who were both non-Jewish, and they both converted. If they both made the family decision to convert, oddly enough, they're not family. And halakhically they're not connected to one another. And so therefore, when the father dies in such a scenario, the estate is hefker. Ain't no lomi divrei Torah v'lomi divrei sofrim. Did none. And here the Gemara quotes A. Now we have it as a Mishnah. If you look on the side, it's a Braisa. So the lovem aus men agershin is gairu vanav imo lo yachzor levanav. So if you borrowed money from a ger, where his children converted together with him, you do not lo yachzir levanov, and let's say the lova dies, and the malva dies, the lender dies, meaning the convert, the father convert, so then you don't have to return the money to his children. Let's go even one step further. And let's go one step further. Not only do you not have to return the money to the children, there's no need to do so. The Chachamim wouldn't be happy if he did so. Because once again, they are halakhically non-connected. The child of the child of the ger, again, to be clear, the child himself also converted. Now, that wasn't born after after he converted. He wasn't born to him after he converted. So the child of the ger, who himself is a ger, is not related to the father. So you owe the father money, but he's a ger. And after he dies, there's no need to return the money. And furthermore, don't give it to the kid. And furthermore, if he did, the chachamim aren't happy. Now the Gemara says, on this last point, we have a competing brisa. Now on this last point, the brisa says, nah, the chachamim are pretty happy with you. So the Gemara says over here, we're going to make the following distinction. If the father and son are totally disconnected, halachically, meaning that the father and son are already in this world, and they both made the decision that they're going to convert, there are simply no halachic connection between the father and the son. Biological father and son, halachically nothing, zero. Therefore, the son doesn't inherit anything of the father's, not his estate, not his account receivables, nothing. Fine. The second brisa, argues with the first brisa, is saying no. Under certain circumstances, even though halachically they're not connected, but still, we're going to treat them as if they are connected. For example, haraso shalabik dusha v'leidasa bik dusha. Let's say the decision of conversion for the father took place after his son was conceived, but before his son was born. Now, halachically, it really doesn't make a difference. Meaning, if conception took place before he converted, so then halachically, they're not related. But when the son is born into this world, he's born to a converted father. So there is more of an impression, even though halachically, it really doesn't matter, but there's more of an impression that they are halachically connected one to another. So since under those circumstances, it looks as if they're more connected, so therefore, what you should do is, if you owe the father money and he died, so then you should pay off the son. There is more of a, at least an appearance, that they are in fact, related. Okay.
Presumably, if there's a written instruction to leave the...
Correct. We're just...
But the recipient could pick and choose what he takes, correct?
Yeah. In other words, we're just dealing with the basic halachic structure of how they are related with one another. Okay, what do we have right now? The main point the Gemara is discussing is whether or not min haTorah, a non-Jewish son inherits the estate of his non-Jewish father. Now, the Gemara said earlier, we know that that's true. That's in fact correct. A non-Jewish son is going to inherit his non-Jewish father. Why should that be? So the Gemara has it right now from the Pesukim in Parshas Bahar, v'chishev im konehu, that even though generally the non-Jewish son inherits his non-Jewish father, but in the halachas of Eved Ivri, this is the exception to the general rule. That's one source in the Torah. We are now on the top of Yechez Amad Aleph, two lines down, and the Gemara now is going to give us a second possible source. Rav Chia bar Avin Amar Rav Yochanan Ove Kochav Yerushas Avid Dvar Torah. The Gemara quotes the name of Rav Yochanan, that a non-Jew inherits his father on a Torah level, Dichsiv, Kirusha Leisav Nasati, Es Har Seir. I gave to Esav a Yerusha, Har Seir. That is going to be the source of Rav Yochanan, that a non-Jew inherits from his father's Dvar Torah. Very interesting source, because Esav is not Jewish. He's the son of Yitzchak. The parents are Jewish, and it's not perfectly clear also whether the Yerusha is the Yerusha from Yitzchak to Esav, or the Yerusha in question over here is the Yerusha from Esav to his own children. Okay, but still, it's an unusual source. And the Gemara says V'dilma Yisrael Momer Shani, and the Gemara says, and you know what? Maybe Esav falls more under the category of a Yisrael Momer. Now again, even the term Yisrael over here by Esav, meaning the Avos are Avos. They are not what we would categorically refer to as B'nai Yisrael. Because, quite frankly, they're not. They're not B'nai Yisrael. So, okay. So this is a Elam HaHachas. So the Gemara admits that this source that we just quoted may not be the best source. So the Gemara quotes another source. Ki livnei lot nasati es ar Yerusha. I gave to Bnei Lot the city of Ar, which is the capital of Moab, as a Yerusha. Now the Gemara over here doesn't balk at the idea that Lot is unequivocally not a, you know, not in this category of Yisrael, not a Yisrael Mumar, meaning a total non-Jew. Mm-hmm. And the Gemara uses this as a second source that there is in fact Yerusha in the world of non-Jews. We have now two sources in the Torah that teach us this idea that min haTorah, a non-Jew inherits down to another non-Jew. So the there's a father-son Yerusha connection in the world of non-Jew. The Gemara says, "Rav Chiya Barav, in my time, Elo Amar Karava, Miksi v'chishivim koneo, v'loam yershe koneo." So the Gemara just explains what each Amara does not like the other source. Rav Yochanan doesn't like the source of Rava because the Torah is not explicit. The Torah doesn't say, "V'lo im yershe konehu." It's a diuk. We made that inference in the Torah, but the Torah doesn't say it. And furthermore, Rava, my time alo amaker Rav Chiya Barav, mishum kvoda dav Ramshani. And as far as Rav is concerned, he didn't like the source of Rav Yochanan because we're talking about Lot. Lot, maybe the Torah gave a special dispensation that Lot was going to have a Yerusha for his family in perpetuity, but maybe as a point of respect for Avram Avinu. Lot was his nephew. So that may not reflect the basic halacha. So the Gemara has conflicting sources. The halacha is very clear. Min haTorah, a father does bequeath his estate down to his son. A non-Jewish father bequeaths his estate to his non-Jewish son. It's just now a question of what the source is. And the Amoraim give various sources.
Could it possibly that Lot was a convert?
Was he?
No, I mean, he wasn't. I mean, what we know, in fact,
not the measures. I mean, it's not
that no, but I just, you're right. And in fact, so. Right, his sons, meaning his grandson, well, his both, his sons and his grandsons. I know that's confusing, but the Moab and Ammon, right? They're nations of the world. They're not Jews,
yeah.
So.
Yeah,
okay. Yeah. Again, the right from the Midrashic standpoint, that's all well and good. But from the halachic standpoint, their nationalities, the Moav and Ammon, are not Jewish. So, and the Torah speaks and uses the language of Yerusha. Okay. There is another discussion which goes one level deeper than the Gemara in terms of what we've established in the Gemara that there is Yerusha by a non-Jew. That's clear. How far do the halachas of Yerusha apply? Meaning, we know we're going to learn this in Baba Basra soon enough, and by soon enough I mean about a year from now, no more. We have all three babas to get through, but we're going to see at the end of Baba Basra that there's a pecking order in terms of Yerusha, right? All based on the Pesukim and Parshas Pinchas. So after, if there's no son, then there's a daughter, and if there's no daughter, then there's a brother, and if there's a brother, it goes back up to the father. In other words, we have an entire pecking order of how Yerusha is done. Is the same thing going to be true by a non-Jew, or is it just simply father to son? From our Gemara, it seems like this halacha is only limited to father and son. Okay. Tan Rabbanan. We are in Yerches Ben Alef at the two dots in the Gemara. Yesh be'ivri, shein be'ivriyav. Yesh be'ivriyav, shein be'ivri. So notable differences between an Eved Ivri and an Ami Ivriyav. Yesh be'ivri shuhu yotzei b'shanim of Yovel over Misas ha'adam ha'shein kein be'ivriyav. So an Eved Ivri goes out with 6 years, with the Yovel year, with the death of the owner, of his owner, and that's not true regarding the Ivriyah. Now, if that line of the Brisa is objectionable, good, it is objectionable. It's just simply not true. It is true by the Amma Ivriyah. So what's the Brisa talking about? So stay tuned. We're gonna come back. We're gonna iron out that line of the Brisa. Now, there's something unique about an Amma Ivriyah in which there's a way that she goes free, which is not true by Neved Ivri. Now, we've seen this already a couple of times, and that is Simonim. Once an Amma Ivriyah hits 12 years of age and also has physical maturity, so she goes free. And that's not true by Neved Ivri. Next, Enunim Keres Venishnes, and Amma Ivriyah is not sold and resold. Umaftinosa Ba Karcho. And she gets redeemed against his will. Now, the his is a pronoun. Who's his are we talking about? we're going to discuss. Masha'en came by Ivri, and that's not true regarding an Eved Ivri. Okay, this Braisa is difficult. Almost every line of the Braisa is like a... It's like a stumbling block in the halachas that we thought we knew. So the Gemara is going to take us now through the Braisa and clarify every point in the Braisa. So the Gemara says, I don't know what that first line of the Braisa is talking about. The first line of the Braisa says that when it comes to the Eved Ivri, he goes out in three ways, Shanim Yovel and Mises Adon. And then the Braisa says, but that's not true with an Ami Ivriya. Of course it's true with an Ama Ivriya. In fact, we learned in our Mishnah, in addition to this, the Ama Ivriya also goes out with Simanim. So what is the Braisa saying? Am Rav Sheshes Kagon Shiya Adam. So the Gemara says, well, what the Pshat in the Braisa is that under the circumstances where the owner did Yi'ud, so then she doesn't go free with either Shanim Yovel or Mises Ha'adam. So the Gemara says, Ya'ada Pshita. So the Gemara says, well, of course. Meaning, if yud is done, yud is marriage. As we've said already a number of times. The point of the Ama Ivriya, the objective of the selling of the Ama Ivriya to the Adon, is that right now he's buying a maidservant, and hopefully what he's going to do, says the Torah, is he's going to marry her. It's a special marriage. It's called yud. We'll talk more about it, in fact, in today's daf. But once he does yud, so that's marriage. So now she's not going to go free in Yovel. She's not going to go free after 6 years. Meaning, the Gemara says, well, of course she's not going to go free. She's no longer an Ama Ivriya. Her whole relationship now has changed to that of a wife, and that's what the Gemara says. Pshita, Gita, Baye. Well, once they're married, the only way to sever the relationship between husband and wife is through a get. And of course, death. But in other words, while he's alive, there's only one way to do it. So, the Gemara has a very interesting Havamina, but when all said and done, it's a Havamina. And that is, well, maybe Yud does change the relationship, but doesn't totally convert it to a marriage. Meaning, it's a marriage with a history of being an Ama Ivriya. And maybe that history still there. And that history of her being an Ama Ivriya would allow her to leave with either Shanim or Yovel. That's the Havamina. And Kamash Malan, and the Chiddush is no. Once the master does Yid with her, that's a marriage, and it totally changes the relationship where she's now a married woman. So, Yahachi, Ama Yotze B'Simanim. So the Gemara says, okay. I'll be ready to entertain your pshat and the braisa, but then the braisa still doesn't make sense. Because the braisa says that under the circumstance where the master did yid with her, so she's not going to leave with Shanim, she's not going to leave with Yovel, but she'll leave with Simanim. Of course she won't. Like, what are you talking about over there? Simanim, okay, that just simply means that she went from being a katana to being a nara. But she's still a married woman, and the physical maturity doesn't change the fact that she's a married woman. Hachi kamar. So the Gemara says, "Im lo yada yosef b'simanim." So the Gemara says, "Okay, so what we're going to have to say in the Braisa, although it doesn't read that smoothly, but you're going to have to say it, is that if yid is not performed, so then she can go out even with simanim, meaning yes shanim, yes yovel, yes mises ha'adon, and on top of that also simanim as well, if yid is not done
because of simanim."
Right.
Simanim are what actually caused it.
Correct. Agreed. Okay. So that took us to the first line of the Braisa. Admittedly, it doesn't read smoothly, but we have to say it. Otherwise, we just simply don't have a pshat. Next.
If they get divorced, does she stay?
Does she stay as an Ami Ivriya? No. Meaning, right, that in the Havamina, you can entertain such a question. But the Gemara's maskan is no. Once he does yid, they are married. And as a married couple, so then, if he divorces her, that's it. She's a divorced woman. That her history's gone. Now, Einanim Keres V'Nishnes, she's not sold and resold. Now, Michlal De'Eved Ivri Nimker V'Nishnes. Now, the Gemara says, okay. But clearly what's being inferred over here is that an Eved Ivri can be sold and resold. To which the Gemara says, but that's not true. V'Hatanya, we learned in a Braisa. B'Gneva So, V'Lo B'Kfeilo. The Torah describes where someone is sold, B'Gneva So, because he stole. And V'Lo B'Kfeilo. You're not going to be sold for kefal. Meaning, let's say, you're a thief. You stole an item. You got caught with the item that you stole. So now what do you owe? You owe the principal, and you owe the kefal. So you reach into your pocket, you reach deep into your pocket, and you pay the principal. Kefal is a secondary payment that you have to pay, the penalty of paying the secondary, of paying the second time the amount of the item that which you stole. Okay, so you reach deep into your pocket and you pay the principal, and now the basin looks at you and the basin says, okay, that's very good, but now you got to pay kefal. So as you're reaching now deeper into the pocket, you realize you got nothing left. So, for kefal, you're not going to be sold into slavery. That's the first halacha. Next. V'lo b'zamamo. I'm sorry. B'gnevaso v'lo b'zamamo. Let's say you're an eid zomim. Okay? So, you trumped up charges against somebody else, and you lied, and you were caught lying, where you had two other witnesses says, Zimano ha'isa mama kumploni. Well, he's such a liar. He was with us at the time. There's no way he could have testified. So the Torah says, Vasisa lo kasher zamam asas lachiv. What's going to happen to you is whatever you conspired to do to somebody else, that's what's going to happen to you. And if your accusation was that he owes money, you're going to owe money. If your accusation was that he stole and he has to pay, so the halacha is you're going to have to pay. If you don't have money to pay, you're not going to be sold into, and you're not going to be sold as an Eved Ivri. So, okay, special gzeiras hakasav. In other words, the selling of an Eved Ivri is only for geneva, for actual theft. Begneva, so kemishenimka pamanchas shuv iata rashay lamochro. And then the brisa ends off with one more halacha. The Torah by saying geneva so means that you are sold once, but only once. You're not sold two times for one geneva. Okay, so. What do we have in this brisa? You can only be sold once. What do we see in the original brisa, the difficult brisa, is that an ama ivria cannot be resold, which gives a clear indication that an evet ivri can be resold. And once again, that presents a problem. So the Gemara says, Amarav lokasha kam b'neva achas kam b'shnei genevas. So the Gemara says, well, it depends whether it was one theft or two thefts. If it's one theft, and you got sold the first time, and for whatever, and your sale price didn't match the value of that which you stole, you're not going to be sold again. Masha Enkin, if you stole two objects, so then you could be sold two times. Amalei Abaye b'gneva so tuva mashma. The Abaye says no. The word geneva is actually plural. Rashi gives an example. Rashi says, how do you say behemoth in plural? So I know behemoth. It's right. In the Torah, in Tanakh, sometimes the Torah uses the word behemoth, even though it's describing animals in the plural. As a simple example. Morning. As a simple example, like in the English, like we have the word sheep, right? Sheep in English is both singular and plural. So Abaye says to Rava, the word geneva, fish, another good example. The word geneva can mean theft, and it could also mean thefts as well. So he just simply doesn't agree with Rava that there's this idea that it could mean one or could mean two. So Elam, Rabbi Lokasha Kamba Adam Echa Kam B'Shnei B'nei Adam. So Abaye says, okay, so here's what I'm going to say. That no, if you stole from one person, even if you stole multiple times from one person, and you're caught with the items, so you can be sold, and you can even be sold again. If you sell, I'm sorry.
One person.
Sorry, let me do that again. Let me do that correctly. If you stole from one person, and even if it's multiple times, you're only going to be sold once. If you sell from two different people, then you can be sold on multiple occasions. Okay. Tanu Rabban, the Gemara quotes the Braisa, Geneva, Ela, Vishave, Chamesh Meos, Nimkar, Vichoze, Vinimkar. So let's say the Geneva is worth 1,000, and you on the slave market are only worth 500. Okay, you got a problem. Nimkar, Vichoze, Vinimkar. So you're going to be sold, and you're going to be sold again. That's our girsa that we have in the Gemara. The Gra simply rejects this girsa. If you look at the Gra on the side of the Gemara, girsa Rambam, the Einu Chozer Venimkar. The Rambam's girsa, which the Gra says, is exactly the opposite. And by the way, the Gra ends off by saying, the he girsa nechona ma'od. Right? There's a lot of corroborating evidence that the Rambam's girsa is absolutely the correct girsa. The Gra sticks with it, and that is, you stole an item worth 1,000. You only sold for 500 on the Eved Ivri market. Okay, that's it. Meaning, you'll be sold for 500, and you're not going to get resold, you're of course going to have to make up for the remaining 500, but not through your sale. Geneva chamesh me'os v'shava elef, eino nimkar klal. Now, if the item, let's say, was valued at 500, and you go for 1,000 on the Eved Ivri market, so then you're not sold. Meaning, under those circumstances, you're simply going to have to pay, and even though right now you currently can't, because if you could, we wouldn't be even having an Eved Ivri discussion, but right now you can't pay, but the Eved Ivri, you're not going to be sold as an Eved Ivri, being that your sale is going to far exceed the item that which you stole. Rabbi Eliezer Omer Maya Gneva Keneged Memkar Nimkar V'im Laveinu Nimkar. Now Rabbi Eliezer has a very interesting shita, which is the only time you're going to be sold is only if it's a perfect match between the object which you sold and how much you go for on the open market. Meaning, according to Rabbi Eliezer, the amount of times that a person is actually going to be sold for a Geneva they stole is going to be seriously limited I mean, there's literally a coincidence, meaning when you have the item which you stole and your value going to be equivalent.
What about the penalty? It's including the penalty or not?
No. It's only. It seems like it's only for the keren, only for the principal value. Amar Rava Ba'azachin Rav Elazar L'Rabbanan. To which Rava says, I think Rav Elazar over here won the battle. Why? And the reason why is because when the Torah says a sale, the Torah says a sale, a full sale, not a half sale. Meaning, if you went for 1,000 on the market and what you stole was only worth 500, the Torah does not allow for a prorated sale. Well, you know, I can be sold for 1,000, but let's sell half of me. There's no such concept. So hachanami nimker b'gneva so amar rachmana v'lo nimker b'chatzi gneva so. Well, if the item which I stole was, let's say, worth 1,000, and I'm only going for 500 on the open market, so it sounds like, based on this logic, well, that's also not going to work because my sale is not going to completely satisfy the obligation that I owe. So Abaye feels. Sorry, I'm sorry. Rava feels that on this machlokes, Rabbi Eliezer is more correct, even though the Rambam goes like the Chachamim, despite Rava's objection. Okay.
Isn't his value related to the time that he has left to serve?
Yeah. So your question bothered me. Meaning, the Gemara over here speaks in terms of how much he's going to go for, but I guess that's part of just simply the equation. Meaning, how much he's going to go for is going to be factored on. Are we 3 years from Yovel?
Right.
Okay, could be.
So he claims here that, according to Rabbi Eliezer, one view is that the owner has to forgive the rest of the debt.
Oh, that's interesting.
And he quotes Maharit, Sefer Hamid.
Okay.
That's interesting.
And that would explain then that there would be otherwise. Right. Otherwise, you almost never be sold. Now, in terms of the redemption, so the redemption of the Amma Ivri can be done against his will. What does that mean? Like I said, every line of the Brice is difficult. So, Adon. So right now, we think that it could be against the will of the Adon. What exactly do you think right now? We're going to write an IOU to the owner. The owner has an Eved Ivri. And we're going to write an IOU to the Eved Ivri, and we're saying now to the owner of the Eved Ivri, based on the IOU that we just wrote you, you better free him. The owner of the Eved Ivri is going to look at you and say, you've got to be kidding me. Meaning, if we're talking about a buyout with cash, fine. But you're going to write me an IOU, and I have to release him? Am I? Naki maganisa biyade yavina lechasma? I'm holding a pearl in my hand. And I'm going to replace the pearl with a shard of earthenware.
Is this arabic though? Is arabic like a?
No, it's buying out his contract. You can't buy out his contract with an IU. El amra bayba karche daav mishum pegam mishbacha. So the Gemara says, well, the bar karche over here does not mean the master. It means bar karche over here means against the will of the father, meaning that. If, let's say, the father sold his daughter because they were in a terrible financial state. And then the father came along money. Now the father has money. So now, what the Bryce is teaching us is that we go back to the father and we say, you have a means of redeeming your daughter. You sold your daughter. and you have a means of redeeming your daughter and you're not going to do it, okay, now we're going to squeeze you because we know you have the money. So the Gemara says, and the reason why we're going to do that is Pegam Mishpacha. Because simply put, the family that sells his daughter, even though the Torah allows it, it's very telling of what kind of family they are. So the Gemara says, okay, but can't you say the same thing regarding somebody who has an Eved Ivri, who was sold into slavery, and now he's got family members who can redeem him, so shouldn't we force the family members? So the Gemara says, no. So the Gemara says, well, like we said a couple days ago, you know, it's fun. It's going to be fundraising. I'm really out, down and out. I'm destitute. This was the argument that Rabbi Akiva gave a couple days ago. I'm down and out. I'm destitute. I'm going to sell myself to slavery. And I know my wealthy uncle is going to redeem me. So every time we have a family member with money, we're going to force a redemption. Well, if that's true, this guy's going to sell himself to slavery all the time. So the Gemara says, "Hachinami hadar azom az bin la." So the Gemara says, "Well, if you're right, so." Isn't the father going to sell his daughter repeatedly? So Hakatani and Nimkar's Venishnes. So the Gemara says, yeah, but that we're not concerned about that because we also know that not going to be sold
in one shot.
And repeated. Meaning the sale of an Amma Ivri is a one shot deal. Umani Rabbi Shimani did Tanya Morcha Adam is Bito Liishus Vishon Lishivchas. I'm sorry, Leishus Vishona. Leshivchos Vishona. Leishus Acher Shivchos. Avalo Shivchos Acher Ishus. So, the Tanna Kamma is of the opinion that a man could sell his daughter to. A man can give his daughter off his marriage and do it again. A man could sell off his daughter as a Shivcha Kananis and do it again. A man can sell his daughter as a Shivcha. And then afterwards, subsequently, give her off as marriage. The only thing he can't do is he can't marry her off, and after that, sell her into shivchus. Rabbi Shimon Omer, kishem shein adam mochers bitel shivchus acher ishus, kach ein adam mochers bitel shivchus acher shivchus. And Rabbi Shimon's of the opinion, no. The selling of one's daughter is a one-time opportunity, according to Rabbi Shimon. To which the Gemara says that the author of the Brisa that we just learned is subscribing to the viewpoint of Rabbi Shimon, and that's why we're not worried about the father selling her multiple times, because the author of the Brisa is Rabbi Shimon, who says that she can only sell her on one occasion. Okay, we'll stop here tomorrow. We'll pick up with what is the sources of these halachas that you can't, according to the Tanna Kamma, can't sell, resell, you can't marry off, and then sell her, you can't marry. In other words, you can't do, according to the Tanna Kamma, you could do everything repeatedly, you just can't marry her off and then sell her. And according to Rabbi Shimon, you can't do anything repeatedly, and tomorrow we're going to go over the source of these halachas. Learning with Le'ilui Nishmas, Chaim Shalom, Ben Avner. Rabbi Chananya ben Achashem Aratzak Shabbat Chazak Yisrofi Chachir ben Torah Mitzvah Shenemar Nai Chafetz Amasikol Yagdil Torah Viyadir.